we thank everybody for those prayers and the concerns and all of these needs that we have, and even more beyond this. We ask for everybody to remember, as you go to God in prayer each day, keep these names on your heart and in your mind, and present them to God along with your praise to Him for all that He does for us. I'd like to go to my message to you today. And my scripture reading is in James chapter 3 and starting at verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these good words of love and peace. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of the things that you do for us, even the things that we are not aware of, are not conscious of. Heavenly Father, we know you care for us as a loving Father, and you have our best interest always. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for that love that goes beyond our comprehension. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless these words that we speak and help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask, and amen. My text to you is in James 1 and 5. And it reads, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." My message to you today is receive wisdom. I don't think there's a one of us that couldn't use more wisdom. Of course, we know that there are other things that needs to come along with wisdom, knowledge and understanding. But our text says, if any of you lack wisdom or needs more of wisdom, ask of God, because He has it for you. There is no shortage in the supply of wisdom. It's plentiful. It's readily available. And our text says that it can be generously received. But how do we go about receiving it? And are there conditions to receive it? Perhaps, are there expectations from those that do receive? James starts off his letter, and he was writing to the 12 tribes of Israel that had been dispersed due to the Roman invasion and occupation of the area. The Israelites of all tribes had been dispersed over the earth. And God put it upon James's heart to be concerned about his brothers and sisters and the situations that they were in. After all, they were in strange lands. They were away from home. They were around foreigners and foreign ways. And so James's intent in writing this letter to the scattered tribes, and my way of expressing this is James is writing to God's children. Just as you and I are his children. We became just as one of the 12 scattered tribes all over the earth. So this applies to us very much so, just like it did to them. The good things that was intended for them to know is intended for us to know. And the requirements for them is just as much requirements for us. So his intent, James's intent in writing this letter is both to inform, to instruct, and to encourage. He is genuinely concerned that his brothers and sisters, away from home, away from life as they knew it, he's concerned that they stay fast in God, that they hold fast to what they know is truth. Important because God requires service of each one of us. He requires us not only to know, but he requires us to do. And so James is wanting to strengthen that. And he's wanting them to be strong and steadfast in their service to God and in their service to each other. And obviously, James refers to their forced separation from their homeland. He refers to what he knows that they're going through. They're going through trials, being away from home, and in essence, as a result of the captivity, as a result of the invasion of the Roman army and the things that that brought in, as a result of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And we know that that in itself went against the religious element, established element of the land. Jesus was at odds with things that was going on within the religious, established religious element of Israel and Jerusalem. And so the church, as you read in your Bible, in the New Testament, you read of how the church was going through trials, and it was going through some tribulations, some persecutions. And part of that was because they were followers of Christ. James is aware of his brothers and sisters' needs, their spiritual needs. He's aware that they need spiritual guidance that they probably don't have. And he asks the question to them, as my text read, do you have a need of wisdom? Do you have a need of spiritual guidance, of help from God? What wisdom was James referring to? Well, some people's ideas of wisdom are different. The wisdom that most define is more than just a possession of book knowledge. It's more than just a possession of knowledge and words and answers. It's more than just a possession of understanding. Wisdom has been defined as divine insight or divine intelligence. I think that's pretty good. That goes beyond man's power. That recognizes something beyond man's abilities to acquire. It involves the Almighty Creator God and His intelligence. Wisdom is defined as divine insight, a special insight. It's also been defined as sanctified horse sense. Sort of makes you wonder what the difference is there between that and common human sense, don't it? Which one is greater? In essence, James is asking his brothers and sisters, do you need God's help in coping with the situation that you're in? Do you need something more than has been available to you up to this point? Is there a need of a higher power in your life and what life has brought to you? And James is saying, God is here to help. He's saying, come to your senses and just know that all you have to do is ask. God is there. That higher power is available for you. Let's see what, again, James 1 and 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Sort of reminds me a little bit when I read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit brings to my remembrance that where any two or three of you are gathered together in my name and ask of me anything, that I will give it. It's a promise. And that's a promise. It will be given to him. Wisdom is there, available for you. But you have to know that it is available. It is something that you can have. You have to ask for it. Let's go to Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Do you see how important that is? Do you see that your best efforts is going to nowhere near approach what God can do for you and through you? In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. It's all about God. And the more we realize that and put God first in our hearts and lives, let Him lead and guide, let His Holy Spirit take over. Let Him be the master of your life and your decisions. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. How great a nation that Israel would have been if they would have but acknowledged that scripture and put it to work and keep it fast in their hearts. How great a nation. instead of being relatively obscure at this point in the world, it's not really quite that bad, but Israel is a small nation. How big and important and successful that it would have been if they would have put God first, kept Him first, and did what He called them to do. Be a nation of priests. And be a nation that all the other nations of the earth would look up to, would look to for guidance and help from Almighty God. I could easily visualize the nation of Israel as being the most powerful, influential nation on the face of the earth right now. Right now. If they would have just been what God called them to be. But you see how much less than what they could have been with God. How much less they are. But somehow it just didn't get through to them. To their very being, it did not register with them. And that's why we see them as the nation that they are at this point in time. Just think how our hearts and lives would be if we would just wake up to what God has for us. Just think how much better it would be for us. How much more successful our lives would be. How much more influential that we could be to others that don't know the truth that we know. That have not made decisions in their heart and life that we have come to make in ours. And we need to give praise and honor to God each day of our life that we have been so fortunate as to been exposed to the truths that we have. And some of it through our moms and dads. And how God was allowed to work in their heart and lives. If it wasn't for them, we might not be where we are today. And most likely wouldn't. Even at the level that we are at. But we can be at a much higher level also. By allowing God and the Holy Spirit to work greater in our life. James is asking him, do you need God's help in coping with the situation that you are in? And he's letting them know that he's there. God is there. All the help you need is there. Wisdom is there for your asking. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. How much simpler could that be? God didn't want any just tremendously difficult things from His people, from the children of Israel. But they could not even just give Him their total dedicated lives. They could not hold fast to Him without being influenced by what was going on around about Him. The pagan people around about Him. The pagan gods. Pagan religious practices. They were influenced by what was happening around them. Are we being influenced by things that we have not even recognized to ourselves? That our lives is on perhaps a downhill spiral or perhaps stagnant in the knowledge that we have and in our reaction to God. We need to examine our lives. And we need to know that God wants us to be sincere. He wants us to be dedicated. He wants us to be steadfast, immovable in Him and in our love for Him and in our service to Him. Let's go to James 1 and verse 6. Because when we pray to God, when we ask Him for things, we need to know that He can do what the Word says He can do. Obviously, the nation Israel must not have got that. They must not have really taken it to heart. But I'm telling you this morning that when the Word promises you something, when God says something will be, it will be. And we need to put our complete and total faith in God's delivering power. After it talks about wisdom and how generously available it is for you, it tells you how you must approach God for these things that you want and have need of. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to think, to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, we have to have faith. We have to believe that God will do what his word says that he will do. When he says, if you will do this, I will make you to rise above all the ones that are around you. If you'll do this and stay steadfast to me, then no hurt will come to you. Others may fall around about you, but you're going to be standing. And you're going to be prospering. You're going to be successful if you will recognize God as your loving Father and be obedient to Him and walk in His ways and forsake the evil things that you may be doing. These scriptures that I read of my scripture reading, the entire chapter of James 1, just to sort of summarize, this chapter is telling us we need to persevere. Another word for that, we need to endure. Remember the scriptures where it says that when you've done all you can to stand, and perhaps things are still not going your way, and perhaps things are still coming against you, and you've been standing up to this point, then what? Just stand. When you've done all you can to stand, just keep your faith and trust in God and keep standing. And God will effect the changes necessary. But we have to persevere. We get endurance through the testing of our lives. Through, perhaps you could say, the testing of our faith. Are you going to stand? Or are you going to take a step or two backwards? Are you going to compromise? Are you going to let a little evil and a little sin come in here and there? That's what the children of Israel did. And that's what started them down. We have to be sincere and stay that way. We have to be dedicated. We have to believe, we have to know, and we have to do. We can't know and not do. What good is that? James says in other parts of his book. This chapter also lets us know, don't blame God for things that go wrong in your life. God
doesn't tempt you. The scripture says that you're tempted when you're drawn away of your own lust. God doesn't tempt anyone. Let's read verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Stay steadfast. God's promises you can rely on, and the rewards will be there for you. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own desires, wants, lust. That's how you go about it. That's how you fall into yielding to temptation. But you can say no. God says that he would not put, that there would not come upon you any trial or temptation, but what you wouldn't have with his help the ability to resist, to say no. It is possible to resist each and every temptation that comes against you. Let's go to verse 19. This you know, my brethren, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear. These are pretty good verse here. Everyone should be quick to hear, but slow to speak and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Let's go to verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word. Some people would say it's not that important to do. You know, God, Jesus Christ has came and done all there is to do. There's nothing left for you to do. Just believe on God. These verses tell us that there is something to do. Faith without works is dead. That's what James writes. The word does not contradict itself. It is in agreement. We ourselves are the ones where the problem lies if we don't understand. But there's no contradiction in God's word. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks in his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But look at this in verse 25. But one who looks intently, that means more than just a glance. It means studiously. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, what is the perfect law? The law of God. The royal law of God, the Ten Commandments of God. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to have more of the good gifts of God? The word tells us how to get it and how to keep it and what the result of that would be. Let's go down to 20, or back up to 20. Okay, let's go down a little bit more. Let's go down to 25. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not, let's going down a little bit. Does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This man's religion is worthless. And let's see what kind of religion God really looks greatly upon. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Do you see how important it is to recognize and try to do something about those that are unfortunate in this world? The widows, the orphans. James says that that is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God. Our scriptures and our word from God this morning says, do you have a need? Accept that your loving Father is your supplier of all that you need. James 1 and 17 says, every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father of life, light, in whom there is no variableness. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 1. And we'll read of someone else who had a need for wisdom and ask of God. And I'm closing very quickly now. 2 Chronicles 1 and 7. In that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask what I shall give to you. Solomon said to God, you have dealt with my father David with great loving kindness and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, your promise to my father David is fulfilled, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Now listen what Solomon says to God. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for whom, who can rule this great people of yours? God said to Solomon, because you had this in mind and did not ask for riches, wealth, or honor, or the life of those who hate you, nor have you even asked for long life, but you have asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge that you may rule my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge have been granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings who were before you has possessed, nor those who will come after you. The King James Version starts that off, that says in, I don't know if David can go there real quick, a King James Version of 2 Chronicles 1 and 7. Let's go down to a little further. And a little further. Okay, right there in 2 Chronicles 1 and 11. I like this translation where it says in 1:11, and God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart. In other words, we ask ourselves, and God would ask, what is really in our heart? What's really important to us? And this was really the important thing, is what this is implying to Solomon. Because this was really what you wanted, then God says to Solomon, he's going to give him not only what he wanted and asked for, but all the other things that perhaps most other men and women would ask for. But we need to ask in faith. We need to ask expecting that God's going to do it. God's going to give us what we ask. That's what the Word says. Ask in faith, expecting, not doubting. We must believe that God is our source of all good things that He has for us. And that when we ask for wisdom, it will be given. We must believe that God will give to us understanding and insight into the circumstances of life. And that's what James was writing to his brothers and sisters about. Their circumstances of life had led them into foreign lands, around foreign people, and in trials and afflictions. God always, throughout His Word, has provided guidance for those who consult Him with a sincere desire and intent to walk in His ways. When you ask of God things and you implore Him to relieve certain situations and circumstances, then you need to have your mind made up that God will provide, but we need to do our asking and receiving with the intent to walk in His ways. Last verse today, let's go to James 3 and 17. James 3 and 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. We need to get our hearts and lives right with God. We need to try to get more of His righteousness within us. It's first pure. No hypocrisy here. Then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. That means easy to be talked to be reasoned with. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Every one of them things. Every point in that verse needs to be prevalent in our heart and lives. And we need to be seeking that we have more of it. If you would, stand with me in prayer. Heavenly Father,